Hey folks, before we get into the episode, just a clarification. This is episode 365, not 366. Like I said, I thought it was, but it is 365. Hope you enjoy it. Hello, welcome back to the FitCast. This is episode number 366, I think. My name is Kevin Larrabee, and it wouldn't be a good year for this show if I didn't bug the crap out of Dan John to get him back on Skype for one more hour. Thank you, sir, for doing it.
Hey, you know, it's what I do, you know, constantly bailing you and your podcast out, you know, just... I'm exhausted, to be honest with you. I'm exhausted.
I know you must. You must. I mean, this is you. I mean, you have a new book out called Before We Go. So this is got to be like your book tour thing. You got to do the podcast. You got to do, you know,
I've got to do the Kevin Larrabee book. That's all we ever talk about. Yeah.
Right. Of course, yeah. I mean, we'll hit it off with that. I mean, this is something that we talked about last time that you're on, that you're going to have another book come out this year, and you're just kind of a keyboard warrior with this stuff, and just amazing that you're able to get these books out. And this one is even bigger than the last one, like significantly bigger, right?
Well, yeah, because it's a compilation. Mm-hmm. So that's just not that, they're much easier. It's weird to say that what I'm about to say is like compilations for me are very easy. Mm-hmm. Because it's up to Lurie, the greatest publisher in the world,
of course,
and then Greg and all those people who do all the extra work, and me. But then I look back and I realize that it takes about, I'd say, the better part of 5 years for me to write enough articles for a compilation. It's like, mm-hmm. Okay, all right, so I see that. Yeah.
Well, it's it's out right now. People can, you know, check it out in your favorite place. For most people, is going to be Amazon.com, and also it's like only like $7 or $8 on the Kindle if you hate paper. And if you really want to help support the cause, go to On Target Publishing, order direct, and help out. Well,
the nice thing about On Target is that you get all that extra stuff,
right?
And I think that's the thing people miss is that there is. There's just so much in there, mm-hmm. You know, there's just so many things in there. And she adds all those movement lectures and all that extra material. And then, of course, this sounds crazy, but you get on her mailing list. And I mean, I'm sure every single listener is going, oh, a mailing list. Mm-hmm. But actually, it's a very good she has some great stuff that comes out. So, yeah.
Absolutely. And it's like it is. Like I'm on a, you know, Chevy Chase had the Jelly of the Month Club, which he was disappointed by. But thanks to Lurie, I'm on just like the awesome Education of the Month Club, when it's stuff coming from you or like Sue or Greg Cook, and Greg Rose had a DVD that just came out. So like if you really just want like a one stop, just go to otpbooks.com because it's just – She's the Terminator of fitness content by continuing to get this stuff out there and having no other protocols except delivering great fitness information for people who want to read it.
Yeah, totally. Absolutely, yeah. It's great stuff. It really is great stuff, yeah.
And, you know, she's got guys like Mike Boyle, that guy.
Awesome. Yeah, well, you know, you can't always, you know. Sometimes you get what you get.
Yeah. And also, I want to give a shout out because I'm going to have him on in probably the first or second episode of the new year, Josh Hillis, which I'm sure we'll talk about during the show. But of course, you guys work together on Fat Loss Happens on Monday. And he's just continuing to just put together awesome, really beneficial information out there for, you know, the fat loss audience, and just doing great stuff for this industry as well.
Yeah, he's a heck of a guy. He's really something special. I can't speak highly enough of him. He is a quality gentleman. So I'm a big fan. Yeah.
Well, let's get into it because I got the book on Saturday and I did my best to go through as much as possible on Sunday and yesterday. And I'm still, like I said, maybe I should do the being a journalist here, and I'll say it's like 360 pages. It's a lot to get through, but at the same time, I'm getting bogged down from writing notes, man. Like, I'm just taking so much out of this because literally we had a staff meeting today at MBSC, and we were talking about just like coaching in general. And you start off talking about the goblet squat in one of the early parts of the books, and just like talking about how, you know, at some point you just need to let people squat. Like, you can't spend 45 minutes showing them how to do a goblet squat. You just need to do it. So it's just everything that is in this book is just so relevant to coaches out there today.
Well, yeah. I was thinking more about your point about squatting. If there's anything I could really emphasize for most coaches and trainers is, you know, people need the repetitions. Mm. I'm glad you like it. I'm glad you're flowing through it. I am speechless with my enthusiasm for your excitement.
Well, again, it's like it's one of those things where I get – and I'm doing – this is – leave me. I'm doing the sales pitch even before the end of the show because it's just – you get so much stuff, like, or at least I do, delivered to my door. And just some of it is just like, yeah. Oh, my God, I can't – man, someone spent 500 pages talking about this. And then you get the quality stuff in, and you want to make sure people, spend the time and the effort to go out there and check that stuff out. And for the great thing about publishing today, for $25, you know, $24.90, whatever, you can get a ton of great content on there. So let's talk. I mean, I thought it was cool. You got TC from over at over at T Nation did the foreword. Man, I mean, I would like to know a little bit about your relationship with him because that's a guy that's just been doing stuff in this industry for, God, like since forever.
A long time. You know, when I finally met him face to face, we had a really nice long conversation. Mm-hmm. Hard to believe it's nearly 10 years ago since I met him in the flesh, though we had been talking, you know, for a long time, obviously writing articles for him. Mm-hmm. But his background is much deeper. He's the first guy to explain all the problems with the bodybuilding magazines. I didn't. What they would do is take a bunch of pictures, and then the editorial staff would say, here are 10, 15 great pictures. Make up a workout based on those pictures. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wait, what? I mean, I always knew they were bogus-ish, mm-hmm. but I had no idea how totally bogus they were. And then he told me a lot of stuff about, you know, just before I met him, you know, honestly, Kevin, we're almost 10 years now, right? You and I, 10 or 11?
Yeah, 06.
Six?
Yeah, I think we met at the LA Strength thing in 06.
Okay, so almost 10 years, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so almost the same time I met you, we were coming out of this era of where you do these 12-week transformation contests, mm-hmm. and everybody was bodybuilding and tanning, and the last 2 weeks, you know, not drinking water or whatever they were doing. And TC gave me some insights about all that and about how people would, you know, people who were actually in very good shape would, you know, kind of unshape themselves, mm-hmm. you know, cheat with a whole bunch of things to get the best set of before and after pictures. And I was just like, wow. And then he told me some insights about what was in some of the supplements at the just before, probably 2002, 2003, I think, is when the supplement industry got cleaned up a little bit. Mm. You couldn't put ephedrine in. You might be, some of your listeners might be too young to remember when ephedrine was a common ingredient in over-the-counter stuff that you would get at Costco or Walmart.
Yeah, your stacker twos, man.
Yeah, you would pull stuff off the shelf at the grocery store that would, as to say, keep you up at night, you know, but not in a good way. Mm-hmm. So he really walked me through. He's a good man. I like him a lot. You know, that's the thing. A lot of people have online personas that don't necessarily, either they're not the way people think, or they're just being an online persona, if that makes sense. So So TC is a much nicer, kinder guy than might come off at T Nation, but it's Testosterone Nation. So they only have one author who's allowed to be reasonable, and that's me. Right. And the rest have to be, ripping, cutting, carving, And I get that. Mm-hmm. Another good person who shocked you would be Lyle McDonald. Really nice guy. Mm-hmm. Wonderful guy, in fact. But, online he comes off a little bit rougher around the edges.
A little bit.
So, yeah. So, kind of, to finish it, I like the guy. He's a good dude. And he knows who we are in the fitness industry. He knows who we are. Yeah.
That's why I think it is really important, if people really like this stuff, to get to those live events like the Perform Better Summits where, I don't think we did one after the Long Beach one, but like you went out with like 25 people to dinner one night and everyone went out to dinner and just you got to hang out with all these people whose stuff that you've read or you've watched over the last couple of years. And it's always a great time. It's always a great time.
Oh, yeah. In fact, Tom Plummer's over that table there and raise his hand, and you got Alan over there saying hi. And it is an amazing thing. Obviously I have great respect for Perform Better, but any of these, this is a little fundraiser we're doing in about 2 weeks for Brendan. When I just got back from that Australia art of coaching I did, and I told the people how important it was to at least go to the pub for about an hour. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're sitting down. I'm finally getting a chance to relax. People start to tell their stories. You start to connect the dots with local people. And that's just, the connections, the information, we're so much more than my prattling and rambling, I think there's great, great value to it. So I agree with you very much, yeah.
Just to back you up, the best conversations that I've had over the last 8 or 9 years of those summits has been outside of the seminar, at the bar, at the restaurant, in the halls. Like that's when you get to really have some of the best, conversations. You get to learn a ton about people.
And frankly, you learn what not to do too. People by their dress, by their behavior, by the things that come out of their mouth. One guy who asks every year, if you could only do one exercise, what would you do? We specifically tell them not to do that. The problem with that question is it stomps on, I thought this year down at Long Beach, somebody asked, who are your mentors? Well, I got all choked up because when I start talking about my mentors, that's a question I want to answer. I don't want to answer, how do I inflate my, greater tibialis or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't care. Nor do you. Just go lift weights,
Right. This has been one of my – I talk to a lot of guests that come on the show before they come on, just like heads up. I usually like to not have an outline for these shows because the first 4 years of this show was like, Dan, John, what are your three favorite, hip dominant exercises when you train on Wednesday at between 3:30 and 5:30, what are your favorite ones for that time period? And it's just like, who's that helping?
Yeah, well, and that's I'm glad you learned.
Took a couple of years.
And please don't don't beat on yourself. That's what the rest of us are here to do. Okay.
Sure. Thanks. Off of that, this has been kind of an interesting year for the fitness industry as we kind of come to a close. I would almost say that there has been a relatively positive trend towards maybe almost I don't know if it's the audience that's smartening up or just the people that are selling stuff are just there's more eyes on them. So they're not selling as much garbage. What are your feelings with where we're at right now?
You make a good point. Okay, it could be several things, okay? It could be a number of things. Sorry, my screen just went blank there, so I had to re-plug it in. Let's go back 10 years. Let's go back to when I first met you.
Oh, we were so young.
Yeah, I was 12. I was a mere 48. And you know, that's when CrossFit first showed up. Mm-hmm. And I think it was at Long Beach. I elbowed, it was, might not have been you, but I elbowed somebody and I said, just watch. And I turned to them and I said, well, CrossFit, just like that. And this girl spun and came over and started, you said CrossFit? Are you guys talking about CrossFit? CrossFit? Are you talking about CrossFit? Are you talking about CrossFit? You talking about CrossFit? And I can remember at that moment thinking, we're going to be in for a ride here. But at the same conference I met you, a young man who was very nervous, wanted to talk about getting involved in the business. So he and I went to lunch. His name was Brett Contreras. Think about Brett Contreras and his impact.
Yeah.
Now, I agree. He focuses on the glute. But by God, if you're going to focus on one muscle system, that's the one you want to focus on.
Good choice. Yeah.
And, you know, we sat down and we talked. And look at his influences in 10 years. Think of how much more clarity we have on really the most important movement. I got to be careful about that. If I was going to say muscle system, yeah, I mean, right up there, right? As important. They're all important. I mean, nothing. Yeah. Like I always said, you know, you cut your arm off and find out what's the most important limb. I think about that time. I think about some of the people who spoke. And I mean, I'd have to get the roster of names, but a lot of them have become, I mean, they're up there. The hyper selling is gone. The affiliate thing, it seems like it's finally bit the dust a little bit, you know, where I would, you would be my affiliate and make $20,000, you know, and we still have those extremely long ads, but that's easing up. But the nice thing is, I mean, people are starting to realize that, I mean, I love kettlebells, but kettlebells don't cure cancer. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love the TRX, but you're not going to get rid of a disease doing them. And we've kind of stopped with the hyperbole in the industry a little bit. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I agree with you. It's even interesting. I think on the nutrition side, things have eased up a little bit.
Totally. That's one of the things I want to hit on with you.
And that's the side that runs. I think the most Americans have realized that they have been failed by get thin quick.
Yep.
Now, having said that, we all know that it's been going on for better part. Let's see. When I did that article for T Nation, I got back into the 1870s with that kind of thing. It's funny what we consider Kellogg, the name Kellogg. He was a health food fanatic. Sylvester Graham of Graham Cracker. The Graham Cracker is considered a health food at the time. Mm. When you go back in history, the diet plate of the 1940s, which they thought was crazy until it came back as a pretty good idea recently. No gluten, lots of protein, three different sources of protein. You know what a diet plate is? You might be too young, but you know your grandma would. It was a beef patty, cottage cheese, usually a tomato, and a gluten free biscuit of some kind. Hmm. I mean, I don't know if a bodybuilder in the world that wouldn't go, that's pretty good, you know. So yeah, it seems to have eased off. We're not getting any help from the government. You know, we're really not. The FDA does nothing with supplements. And you can blame my senator, Orrin Hatch, for that. Mm. Because, of course, he gets well funded by the supplement industry. And it's too bad. Well, it's because it's dangerous. Now, I believe in quality stuff. And that, you know, I mean, I take the best fish oil, the best protein. I mean, I learned that from Dick Knottmeyer, you know, quality. If you're going to take supplements, you better take good ones or don't. Though I do also, I just got Danny Cavaldo's new book. I read it before because I wrote the foreword to it, but as I was rereading it the other day, he argues eat fish instead of fish oil. And I thought, well, you know what? That's pretty good advice. So yeah, things are nice. You know, I've been reading a number of books in the field. You don't mind me rambling for a minute, do you?
I love it.
Okay. You know, Tim Anderson came out with the new Pressing Reset. And, mm-hmm. you know, you go through Tim's stuff and it's like, yeah, that's, you know, that's pretty good. Mm-hmm. You know, you read Josh's stuff and it's like, Josh Hills, you know, that's pretty good. Danny Cavaldo's books. Yeah, that's pretty good. Dragon Door's come out with a couple of books in the last year on, you know, learning how to do like rings, you know, rings like in the backyard, they hang from a strap. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm reading that book and I'm like, yeah, that's pretty good, you know? And it's stuff that I can, Max Schenck's book on, I think it's called Ultimate Athleticism. Mm-hmm. You know, you read that book and you sit back and you go, yeah, I actually learned something here.
Right.
Marty Gallagher had a book. Now, it's not as good. I've been blessed to be at workshops. Marty and I did a workshop with some military forces. And when I heard his whole presentation, I mean, I was like, okay, I'm just not that good. I really need to improve my game, the clarity of his work. So it's nice to see that a lot of it's getting clear again. You know, a lot of people follow the work. I mean, a lot of people follow the work of various people, but I'm thinking one in particular who, you know, pushed, you know, used to say you should take amphetamines before you lift, smoke dope before every meal so you get hungry again. And, of course, take all that other stuff too. And I'm like, wait, you're doing the workouts based on amphetamines and anabolics and marijuana. And again, this is not, I'm not judging, but you know, if you're a police officer, I don't want you on amphetamines, steroids, and marijuana. he then coughs. Knowing that what he just said had a bit of irony in it. Yeah. So I think so. I think we're in a good place right now. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's continue to talk about the nutrition stuff because, you know, you talk about that again. This is like a lot of stuff I'm going to talk to you about. We'll get to some questions. We got some questions on Facebook and stuff like that. But
okay,
it's my show, so I'm going to ask some questions too.
That's right.
And yeah, and so in your book, you were talking. Okay. There's a couple things I want to talk about. I'm going to pick my spot. So you know, one about. I'm trying to decide what I want to talk about. All right, so let's talk about. I got my notes in front of me. I'm just going to pull up my notes. So I'm just going to go here. So. You talk about, you know, you got to have some tough training in there. You got to have some challenges,
mm-hmm.
some challenges. So, you know, if there are people like, I don't know if you want to, we could go all over the place with this thing, but, for people that are just doing like the 3-day week, they're the, you know, the people that are in the gym doing the 3-day full body workouts,
yeah.
Like what should be their first attempt at a challenge without, you know, feeling like they got hit by a car when they try to do something that's going to challenge them a little bit.
Well, you know, let me quote Josh. You know, Josh, you know, he uses the park bench and bus bench thing with his clients. And for the bulk of the year, I think he said 8 months a year, your job is to show up in this example, 3 days a week and get the work done.
Mm-hmm.
And then about 2 months a year, you know, maybe 2 months, you know, I don't know, that January, February, that, whatever, you know, however it works out with bikini season or that trip or the wedding, you ramp it up maybe 2 to 4 months a year. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I think for most people, 2 months is enough. And I've said this before, but like if you're an accountant, you wouldn't want to do it in April. If you're a school teacher, you would not want September or June. You know, but you can ramp up things, you know, of course, if you're a football coach, you want to avoid, you know, October. And you ramp things up. So when you look at something like a challenge, you have to sit back and say, like you did, and I thought you said it right. Listen, I mean, I've got this weekend is coming up. It's wide open. We're going to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. The Friday before Super Bowl weekend, do a challenge because there's a good chance of you sitting around a lot on that Sunday. Thanksgiving Friday, I always think is a good day. Mm-hmm. So pick those days where, I don't know, you kind of know you're being a bit slothful. Why not, or slothful, I guess. Why not pick those days and go after it? When I write about challenges, sometimes I'm asked by the editorial, will you come up with some challenges? And I do. And part of the problem with that is I'm pulling challenges out that I would give to my football players or challenges that people do on literally an annual basis.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be a group of us that would do a 100 rep challenge about once a year. And it was on the old school forum, I think. And someone say, hey, on, you know, on July 9th, we're going to do the 100 rep challenge. And that would be 100 singles. And I did one time I did 100 singles with 165 in the squat snatch. Another time, this one was much easier. I power cleaned 205. Was it 205? Yeah, 100 singles. Another time I did 255 pounds for 100 singles in the front squat. These might have been a year to 6 months apart. And yeah, I got sore and yeah. I learned a lot. I tell you that. I learned a lot from those experiences. I hope you heard that other part. Once a year, once every 6 months, maybe a challenge with somebody else, another name involved, you know. That's the key. That you don't want to just do it blindly. You know, just you don't want to say I'm gonna do a challenge on Monday, a challenge on Wednesday, and a challenge on Friday. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll be spending time in the bone doctor's hallway for a couple of months. So that's how I do it. You know, my junior college coach had a thing to get a uniform at Skyline College. You had to run 10 200 meter hills. But see, what you misunderstand is you think that they were, you know, the hill went probably 160 meters, just kind of gradually going up. And the last 40 meters was a scramble. And when you got to the top, the people who had already done it would say, okay, that's one, nine to go. And I don't know if there's any value at all in a collegiate discus thrower running 10, 200 meters up the hill. I don't see it. But I got to tell you one thing, man. When I got that Skyline College Trojan, the SC Trojan uniform, I wore it very, very proudly. And I would not have been thrilled if someone had been just tossed a uniform for showing up. Mm-hmm. So sometimes what the challenge will do for you is etch a line in the sand. I'll tell you one thing. After you front squat 255 for 100 singles, when you're warming up, 255 doesn't feel like very much. You get that? Mm-hmm. You now have a line in the sand that this is just not that big a deal. And I certainly expect you to do it too. The Marine Corps have this interesting little funny thing they have. It's a good time. It's a great way to lose some body fat. It's called boot camp. And to become a Marine, you have to go through boot camp. Mm-hmm. And that's how you become a Marine. They don't – you can't online. You can't write train like a Marine on your website. You have to sign up, get your head shaved, and spend 24 hours a day for I think it's 14 to 16 weeks learning what it means to be a Marine. Mm-hmm. And the only time they call you a Marine is on the very, very last day. And they're always shocked. All the recruits are always shocked when the guy comes in and says, "Good morning, Marines." Because it's the first time they've heard anything positive the entire time. And yet, so for me, that's what challenges do for us. They put lines in the sand. They make certain things appear easier. They radically change the way you embrace your identity. And that's why I recommend them so much.
And again, I said I wasn't going to monopolize all this time, so I'm going to get to some questions from Facebook right now. It's from Daniel, who wants you to talk about grip strength, especially helping improving grip strength in females.
Yeah, I saw that question. I'm just not – I don't know if I have any more insights. Mm. But, well, I mean, I would still recommend – if for grip strength for pull-ups, I would still recommend what Greg Cook teaches, mm-hmm. is that for women, you know, you put your chin over the bar and you hang as long as you can. You rest, you hang straight arm from the bar as long as you can. You rest, and you repeat that a few times. I've been experimenting with that, of course, since I heard it a year plus ago. And I tell you, it doesn't just work for women. It works for men too. If you want to do 20 pull-ups, that's going to take you probably close to a minute or maybe a little longer. But if you can't hang from the bar for a minute, how are you supposedly pulling it up for a minute? So that's the only way I can explain do that. I had great success in my Olympic lifting career doing thick bar deadlifts. That was a single best thing for me. I think your sport, you have to do grip work in accordance to your goals. Like when people bring those captains a crush to me, I just look at them like, I don't get it. It has no value for a thrower, limited value for a lifter. And it's a fun, I mean, God bless you for doing it. It's a fun thing. But from my world, there's no value in all of it. Mm-hmm. You know, Though the thick bar deadlift shockingly helps Olympic lifters, helps football, and helps throwers. So I'm not very good on grip. Okay, Kevin, I'm sorry here.
I got you.
Yeah.
I thought this was a funny, interesting question from Michael Hannaford. If you had the opportunity to host the Fake Cast for an episode, who would you want to interview and what would be your choice of discussion?
Probably Katy Perry.
Okay. I didn't think about that. We could just open it up to the universe and
sorry, that was like an attempt at humor. I barely know who she is, but that's...
I'd like to know her better.
That was kind of just funny, actually. Probably for me, Bondarchuk, the former Soviet hammer thrower, coach Yuri Sadiq, now works up in Canada. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of... The problem with a guy like Bondarchuk, and I hate... Please, I'm not putting myself in the same category as him, but myself, he has written a lot. And what happens is people will read an article here when he's talking about training an elite discus thrower, and then read an article here when he's training an elite hammer thrower, and then try to cobble together a program for them to get a six pack. And it's like, you're kind of missing the point there, laddie. And he would be the one for me. Because I find his methods so contrarian. Even you see in his work, you know, the tradition, the standards, and then there's like all these little tweaks. And to me, I love when people tweak off of the basics. Mm-hmm. I don't like when people just tweak. You know what I mean? Hey, we're doing variation. Why? Variation's so fun. Well, no one here is squatting correctly. That's okay because we're only squatting once every 2 weeks. Well, okay, whatever, you know. But Bondarchuk would add these bizarre little exercises. He would just make up. He would take a piece of paper and draw and say, do something like this. And so I would just like to talk to him, you know. Again, you know, his influence is vast, but I would like to know more about how he sees what an individual needs to improve. I've got, you know, a couple of folders with my discussions with Dane Miller, this great shot putter who works with Bondarchuk. And I look at some of my stuff later on. It's like, man, I didn't understand this part. You know, I wrote it down and I listened, but it's like the point. I don't really get it. You know, I mean, I get it. Okay, you're doing this exercise and made you throw farther, but I don't get the process of how he went to add that. That's what I'd like to know more about.
You travel all over the place now. what's been your favorite experience traveling this year? What was your favorite destination?
Well, I got to be careful. yeah, I went out to Adrian Craddock's wedding, and it was the joke was it was so west in Ireland that you could see the Statue of Liberty. That was just a wonderful. I mean, he's former intern of mine and lived with me for 8 weeks in my basement and played with my dog and, you know, ate oatmeal every day. So that was delightful. But I've got to tell you from the heart, please, my friends in Costa Rica, Sweden, Belgium, Australia, Canada, States, please don't take this wrong. But it was Wales. I thought Wales was just lovely. I got into a trivia contest in a bar in Wales where the questions were all in Welsh. And we took fourth place out of 9 tables. That's a delightful memory. Just the country, the scenery. We stayed at this place, this heart of what is it called? The Abbey on the Lake. The Abbey on the Lake, I think. It was Deacon on the Lake. It's on my Facebook. But it was just beautiful. And then every morning at 10 o'clock, you would get woken up by the lovely sounds of the RAF fighter pilots using that valley to practice low-level bombing. It was amazing. Nice. So for me, it would be that. And it's what you think. Sheep, castles, sheep, castles, sheep, castles, sheep, castles. Stopped and saw a wild horse, you know, literally a wild horse. And I guess there's quite a few of them. Saw a bird that was on the brink of extinction. and then looked around and saw four more at the same time. It was pretty cool. Yeah. So that's my favorite.
Do you have any like destinations on your list for 2016, or like, I don't know, just like places that you want to get to, you know, at some point in the next couple of years?
Well, this year I'm going back to Sweden. I'm going back to Ireland. I'm going back to England. Mm-hmm. Belgium, which is delightful. I mean, I hope I can. I mean, I'd like to help them with some of their local problems. Mm-hmm. I've had a wonderful career. Years ago, my daughter Lindsay said to me, "You always say that we're going to go to Ireland, and we never do." So we go there all the time now. So it's kind of fun, you know.
Perfect.
Yeah, and of course, you know, in our defense, you know, we were sending our daughters to Catholic schools in Utah, mm-hmm. and neither daughter has any debt from college. So we were able to pay for all their education, including college. And so that kind of impacted our travel, our vacation a little bit. Kevin, I'm kind of lucky, you know. I mean, I don't want to jinx it, you know.
Well, you know, you're kind of a popular guy and people want to hang out with you. So, you know, they say, how about we just, you know, send you a ticket and a hotel room and come over.
That's pretty much what happens, really. Yeah. It's been great.
So, we'll go through a couple more questions from Facebook before I take any more of the time up. I think I'm going to pronounce this correctly. I'm going to try. Ashoka would like to know about prep for kettlebell certifications for like Strong First certifications. What should people know before they get into this whole process? Like, what should they, have in the back of their mind? What do they need to be able to do?
Well, sure. Mike Brown and I wrote a very detailed explanation of how you prepare for these things. And I'm very proud of it. I think it's some of the best work we've done. Mike is very bright. And of course, instantly it got buried. But I work backwards first because it is an event. Okay? It is an event. And you have to think of it that way. Mm-hmm. So I tell people, you mark your calendars. So it begins Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Okay? So you go back to the Friday coming in, and I recommend to people that you're done. The hay's in the barn. That's the hardest thing for people to get used to. You're not going to make any quantum improvements the last week. Mm-hmm. So don't even worry about it. I tell them to start taking sugar-free orange Metamucil every day so that they're rare, you know, so they get up in the morning and have a bowel movement. And people make fun of that kind of thing. And I say, oh, really? Because the last thing you want to do is have to be at a bus or a van or your car at 7 a.m. in the morning and then work out literally 12 hours, dehydrated, and not go poopies. Mm. And so that kind of thing adds up. You want to bring extra shirts every day. You want to bring food and snacks every day. I'd spend more time that last week prepping yourself up for the days than they would in the actual work. In fact, give your hands a rest, of course. From there, we go backwards. I still think the program called the Rite of Passage is the best. I did it with a 28-kilo bell because that's all I had. And there's that one workout where you do five ladders of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, five times, where you do left arm clean and press, right arm clean and press, pull up. So it ends up being 75 left arm clean and presses, 75 right arm clean and presses, 75 pull-ups. When I did that workout, I kind of stepped back and said, oh, yeah, and then you had to do some swings. I said to myself, 10 minutes of swings. I said, bring it. I'm ready for anything. I did the snatch test at home with the 28, and you only have to do it with the 24. I did the snatch test at home with a oven mitt in my hand to make the test even harder. So what I want to do, and of course this is going to sound a little full of myself, and I'm sure I'll get attacked somewhere online, but Kevin, I couldn't just survive. I had to ace it. I had to be one of the best candidates, and that was important to me. So the rite of passage followed as it is. People worry all about the exact Turkish getup and getting it right. Well, you're going to go there and get it right. So don't worry about things like having a perfect Turkish getup. I think it's nice to have the general stuff there. Great. But they're going to teach it to you. So why worry about it? Mm-hmm. I would worry about having a good goblet squat, but I would worry most about having, to me, I thought it was really helpful to have a big clean and press that could just go on and on and on, a big foundation. Mm-hmm. There's one other thing I'd like to add, Kevin. This is something we do at our gym. It's very important. Is we visualize the RKC, especially the snatch test. The snatch test is 100 reps. It's not 68. It's not 52. It's 100. So I train that like a track coach. And people disagree with me, but frankly, I'm right and they're wrong. This idea of building your reps up and stuff. We go through the weeks a little bit, but let me just give you the hardest one. Is you take a medium sized kettlebell and you do 100 snatches with it. And we use a system of 20 left, 20 right, 15, 15, 10, 10, 5, 5. And I time you. Then you take a lighter bell, a full 4K down, and you rest, and we do it again. And then it kind of depends on what we're doing. You might go back to the medium, might go back to the heavy. So you're doing 300 snatches in that workout. But the idea is I want you to get used to the idea that you can do 100 snatches. When we first test you on this workout, so I'm supposed to use a 24. Let's just say I use the 16, the 12, and the 12, okay? Mm-hmm. What we're testing the first time I go through, and I might be able to crank out the 16 probably just over 3 minutes, probably right over 3 minutes. The 12, right on 3 minutes, maybe a little bit slower, but not much. If I'm breathing like a broken locomotive, my problem is my lungs. If I'm not strong enough in the upper body to finish, my problem is in my guns. And if I don't have any kind of hinge, the problem's in my buns. So there's three answers to the first test: lungs, guns, buns.
Love it.
From what I've seen, the easiest thing, and this is mine, as a child, a drug came out that saved my life called penicillin. So my first year, I had my baby book. I was ill with lung problems my whole life. Back when I got back from the Middle East, went in, had some work done. And they still say I have damaged lungs. And you can always tell. I always kind of sound like that and coughing, always. So for me, I always breathe hard. I'm always dying. But that doesn't mean that I'm out of shape. So for me, though, if I haven't been really staying in condition, it's my lungs that gets me. Mm-hmm. I never have a problem with buns or guns. Many of the women who come and train with me, they can't press what they're supposed to press, say the 16, for example. And when they do their snatch test, it's clear that their guns are the issue. So the rite of passage is perfect for them. Many of the men don't have an authentic hinge, and so it's their buns, and that's easy to fix. We have the hip thrust from Brett. Mm-hmm. We've got Bulgarian goat bag swings. We've got things that can build that up over time. So the big, and then after that, every Thursday is 1,200 reps. Now, my favorite, can I give you one more? This is my favorite workout, okay? Ready for this? So you do 100 swings as fast as you can with half weight. So for me, that's the 12. I mean, that's so easy because I'm fresh. The next thing is I take the bell I'm supposed to do. Now, it's going to be hard to completely understand, but now I have the 24K. 20 left, 20 right, 20 left, 20 right. 15, 15, 15, 15, 10, 10, 10, 10. So now we've gotten up to 180 reps. And by the way, take as much time as you want to do this part. When I get to 180 reps, we then hand you the 28 or the 32K, and you finish with 5, 5, 5, 5. What this teaches, I think, is like the finishing sprint in a 400 meters. So I'm tired and I'm using a heavier bell. Mm-hmm. So I better lock down my technique. I better be solid in the fundamentals. You know, you're following this, aren't you?
Gotcha.
And so it's funny because the 100 with the 12, kind of just makes you a little tired. And the 2020 takes a while to get through. But what we're trying to do, here's what I want from all this. When you take the snatch test, when you start off, when I get to rep number 18 with my left hand, I've mentally already passed the test because I've almost finished with my less strong hand for the highest number of reps, 20. And now I'm starting to pick up the right hand. And I'm a discus thrower. I can do snatches all day with my right hand. And then after that, I got 15-15. Then after that, I got 10-10. And what I'm trying to get you to do is take the fear out of the snatch test out of there. Mm-hmm. Other people do a lot more technical work, like perfecting the Turkish getup. I work on drills the whole time, preparing the person so that if they do get called out for a mistake, they'll be able to go by themselves back to the room and work on just that. Not, you know, we were teaching the Turkish getup there for a while, Kevin. 14 steps up, 14 steps down. I remember looking at that thinking, this is the single stupidest thing I've ever seen in my life. How can you teach a movement in 28 steps? I mean, I get it if it's a dance performance, but could you imagine if I broke the discus down into 28 steps? You wouldn't throw very far, man. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of the basics of how I do it. Ahsoka, if you want, maybe email me or Facebook me and we can ping that article up. Okay. Hard to find, but it's very good.
You spend some time in the book talking about time management stuff too. You get that question a lot. Like, how do you do all this stuff? Like you just asked them to email you or to get you on Facebook. You give out your damn phone number at seminars and stuff. Like how?
And then a woman complains because I didn't. God, you know about that story, don't you?
That happened the day of our last interview. You got that call or you got that message or whatever.
Yeah, I was a little, I'm still upset about it. I told the audience, I'm going to show it to you guys and I'm not going to repeat it. Because remember the group wasn't, it's okay. It's funny. It still pisses me off. I'll go to my grave being angry about that because the person also wrote terrible things about me that weren't true.
Yeah, you know, humans are super weird, man.
You can give a person $1 million, they'll look at it and go, why is it all in hundreds?
Right. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. Can you do a transfer? I don't want to carry this cash on me.
Yeah. There you go. Okay.
They're just trying to help people. Yeah, so anyways, you know, I don't know if you want to share like some of that advice because you do get that a lot. It's like, oh man, like you're training, you're writing books, like you just wrote another book. Like how do you figure time to do all this stuff while you're traveling, you're doing all this other stuff? How do you do it?
We'll break it into parts, but first off, I mean, I've been following time management for a long time. You know, when I first started, I was a college coach and that was great, but then the money was terrible. So I took this job that I thought I was only going to do for a year or two and then go on with my graduate work. Ended up being there for 17 years. Well, one of the first things you learn about being an administrator or a school teacher or whatever, I mean, is that, you know, time is precious. The biggest lesson I've learned in my career is try not to make the same mistake twice. So I think as a school teacher in April, you should dedicate an hour of your day, one day, writing all the stupid things you did and promising, writing them down, and then proactively figuring out how to not do them again. Like I never have papers due the last week. It's stupid. You'll never. So when you finish the national championship, write down everything you did wrong coming into it. When you finish the whatever, write it down and see what you did wrong. That Metamucil trick for the RKC, do you think I just came up with it one day smoking crack or something? No, this is the experience of others telling me. So why that's a mistake, not having a bowel movement for a 12-hour day in the sun. Okay? Okay, so that would be number one. The best time to deal with anything is to write it down right after. And that, of course, will organize everything into checklists. So I have a checklist, and it's inside. I got this little – my wife calls it my brain. It's just a little teeny notebook I stick in my pocket. But on the opening – I'll pull it out for you. Let me just tell you. Okay. Yeah, yeah. So I'm pulling it out. It's on page one. But to me, to get things done, here's my nightly checklist. Coffee ready. So before I go to bed, I make the coffee. The coffee is when I'm alone, it's my alarm clock. If my wife's here, she has her own. I take my ZMA, my Z12, my fish oil. I read a book before I go to bed every night. A hot tub and then ice shower. When I get up in the morning, I drink coffee with, you know, whatever. I mean, I do the coconut thing now. I like that, you know. Mm-hmm. Used to do the butter thing, but, you know, frankly, I keep losing the whip. So too lazy. And then I open it up and I go to emails first. And I deal with every email 100% before I do anything else. Then I go to Columbia College, make sure my students are all taken care of. My little ones are all fine and happy. Grade their papers, grade their essays, read the issues and take care of them. And then I write. And I'll get to that in a second. At 9:30, my dog starts barking because people start pulling up so I can work out. I work out from 9:30 to 10:30 every day, sometimes as late as 11. We then go out to breakfast where Leo, the waiter, knows when I say breakfast of champions. It is a vegetarian omelet with a Greek salad on the side. The breakfast of champions. When I go home, then is when I do the more creative part of the writing process. The morning is when I grind. The afternoons is when I take manila folders and draw pictures. That's when I might read a lot. That's when I take – sometimes I take books and just stack them together. That sounds so weird. Like this next book now, what I'm writing, I'm just stacking books together by books that I think program well versus books that I think miss the point, or a book that has a good insight about programming. And, you know, I think it helps to well, it's what I said in my first book maybe about – or intervention about – what Sister Maria Sumta taught us with keeping a balance of, you know, work, rest, play, and pray. I have more fun than anybody I know. I sleep a lot. Last night I only got 9 hours, a little disappointing. But I hot tub before I go to bed and I shower before I go to bed. I party hard. I play hard. I spend a lot of time. My wife and I just found out we donated another large sum of money to something. We try to really make the world a better place, make a difference with our time, our treasure, and our talents. And I think if you stay in some kind of balance, you can get a lot done. The mistake people make is they start to go in one direction and think that the answer is to go into another. And the true thing is to constantly make sure you're getting your rest and your play. I mean, when I train, I have a lot of fun when I train, Kevin, because I'm around friends and we laugh and we make fun of people and we demean people and they cry and, you know, it's awesome. And when I'm done, I'm done. When I walk out of the weight room, I'm done for the day. We then go, it's a funny thing, more on this whole play thing. Then when we go eat, Leo, I mean, I make good decisions because I really can't, because Leo knows I'm going to order, wants me to order the breakfast of champions because that's what's good for me. Mm-hmm. So I even have a waiter who's bought into my, you know, my needs. So that's how I do it.
Damn, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah. It's all, here's the funny thing. You know, I intermittent fast, you know, of course, like Mark Halpern says, if you don't have food in your mouth, you're fasting. So I love that line. Anytime you don't have food in your mouth, you're fasting. But, you know, I eat dinner and then I don't eat until 11:30. I'm not consciously fasting. I'm just not eating, you know, mm-hmm. And that helps me as a writer, but it also helps me, you know, maybe dance at my granddaughter's wedding. Mm.
Yeah, and that's I will take this opportunity, if you don't mind me, to do a self-plug that, you know, the reason I can still do this show is for the people that are supporting the show through patreon.com/thefickass at patreon.com/thefickass. Thanks to your support, we got to donate $350 to the ASPCA from last episode. So thank you guys for helping us do that. So we're getting at the hour mark. I really liked what you just said. It's like, that was a really good bow. That was a really good bow on this show. I want to ask you though, as we're getting into 2016, what do you got coming up for next year? Is this going to be the year of John? Is this going to be the biggest year of your life?
Well, first, I'm not done with 15 yet.
At least we got a couple weeks.
Yeah. I'm going to the Pac-12 championships this week.
Awesome.
Which is great. Nice. It's got that new Levi Stadium, you know, and we're staying at the Hilton, which is connected to the stadium. So that's been kind of fun.
Nice.
You know, that's just part of the perks of my job. And then the week after, we're doing that fundraiser for Brendan. And that's really big.
I'm bummed I get to miss that. That's going to be an awesome event for everyone that needs to go there. I got to work that weekend.
Could you make sure that's on the show notes?
Totally. Yeah, it's at Rand Phones. It's going to be December 12th.
Yeah. I'm kind of proud of the fact that they asked me to do it. I don't know. Do you know the story about why? Did they just?
Because Brendan loves you, and you know, people want to come see you, man. Like, you know, not to blow some smoke, but. You draw some people, and it's nice of you to do the event because, people, in case they haven't checked out, you know, I talked to Brent on the show a couple times, and even I talked to him about this event when it was announced. I guess it was right after the Long Beach Summit we were talking about out there a little bit. But, Brendan has some aplastic anemia, I believe is the specific term for it, but... he's had some medical costs that go along with it, and he's kicking butt right now. But you know what? In this country, medical expenses are a real thing. And even if you have insurance, you know, to get rid of autoimmune disease stuff, it costs money. And he's had just an incredible amount of expenses. So all the proceeds are going to be going to helping Brendan pay for this stuff because he had to move to be closer to the hospital where they're doing his treatment and stuff. And he can't work because, you know, he doesn't feel like he's going to go, have one of those challenge workouts today. He can't really do a ton of stuff right now. So this is in support of Brendan, who is, been an unbelievable friend, an unbelievable coworker, one of the backbones of Mike Bull's strength and conditioning. And if you've met him, if you talk to him, you know he's an absolutely beautiful person. He's a great person. And, there's just a great opportunity for people who want to go to the event to help out Brendan. And then you also get to see a Dan John workshop at the same time.
Plus Taylor Lewis.
Hell yeah. That's awesome. Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Yeah, I'll have to shut up, let him talk, yeah.
Awesome, yeah.
He's special too, so. Yeah, and then, I won't look it up. I travel a lot. Hmm. It's weird, I'm doing these workshops for these, lots of workshops this year for local strength coach groups. It's a whole area that I've done before. I've done the Southwest Michigan Strength Coach Group, who are wonderful. I mean, those guys are great to work with, and I've done some others. Last year, I did a lot with, the NSCA, which, you know, what's funny, not them so much, but there was another group I've gone to, and I don't like speaking to them. You know, I looked at my evaluations. He's not very scientific. It's like, really? And you guys are? You know, I'd listen to the speaker before me, and he's talking about stuff that literally you cannot do in the setting he said he could do. Mm-hmm. You can't do it. You don't get that. I mean, I've done the work he's done. You don't have the time. And it just drives me crazy. And people are fawning over the fact that he's got charts and graphs. But charts and graphs, I mean, they're not – they got value. But, you know,
You talk about this in the book too. Talk about a lot of your writing. Like you are – like you test all this stuff out, literally at your house, and you test it with a ton of people, and then you share it, and you get to test it with a ton more people, and you get to see the real results. You track this stuff. You audit this stuff.
Guess what? stuff doesn't work. I'm stunned. I mean, it's like I'll be sitting there in the middle of like a thing we're doing. I'm like, this is the single stupidest thing I've ever done in my life. Like our attempt to write the book Lean Made Simple. Oh, my God. We were crippling ourselves trying to do this idiotic thing. I'm not telling you what it was because some jackass will go out and get themselves hurt. I mean, we're all okay. Some of the other experiments people will send us programs and our guys, God bless them, Mike and Mark and all those guys and Matt and Parker, they'll dive in and do it. And, 3, 4, 6 weeks later, they can't raise their hands. Their elbows can't go above their shoulders because they're on this program that's – it's got to work because it's got all the Soviet research behind it. It's got a cute title. It's like – so we do all this stuff that never makes the light of day. And, the funny thing is was it last year I did 4 10,000 swing challenges to make it work better? And people will talk to me on the day we do 9,500 swings about, here's a better idea. Really? Because I've done 4 of these, and this is actually the best way to do it, make a lot of mistakes, and I think that's okay because I think it's okay to make mistakes, the duck-billed platypus. I mean, come on now. Explain that one. And where are the unicorns, So God and I have to have a long conversation about those two things,
I know. And I've had like, just from this, I'm getting to a point. I'm almost 30. I'm getting there I'm getting there. And I swear some of the best life lessons I've learned is when I've totally fucked up.
Oh yeah.
when I just literally like, Kev, this was a terrible idea, terrible mistake, terrible personal decision you made. And oh yeah, I am definitely not going to do that again.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think that maybe applies to things that we do in the gym sometimes too.
Yeah. And it's okay. I know we're kind of getting a little away from topic, but yeah, I think . So yeah, I have a I have a busy year. I go to Sweden again. I'll be traveling a lot. This year I'm almost at 200,000 miles in Delta. So, but yeah, please, there's no complaining. I like what I do.
Yeah.
Like this Australia trip. Do I have still a few more minutes?
Of course.
So I get to the airport. So I drop my wife off at 8 o'clock so she can go to DC. Mm-hmm. My wife spends a lot of time in DC. And we only realized a day or so before that her flight's at 8 a.m. My flight's at 8 p.m. So I'm in mode starting at 8 in the morning. I get to the airport. Of course, I know the Sky Club ladies so well. Mm-hmm. Oh, Mr. John, the one lady comes over and goes, Mr. John, there's a problem. I go, what? Your flight's delayed. I go, delay? No, that's not good. Yeah, it doesn't leave till 2. It's supposed to leave at 8. So that's, I don't know how many, 6 hours late, mm-hmm. which means I miss all my connections all the way to Australia. So she gives me this look. She kind of shakes her head and goes, I can get you on a flight to Long Beach. From Long Beach, you can take a cab or an Uber up to LAX. From there, you can make your flight. I'm like, here we go. So to get to Australia, I had to fly to Long Beach, take an hour Uber up to LAX. I'm the last person on the plane to Australia. 13 hours later, we land. We have to go through customs and then have to jump on another plane to get down to Melbourne. None of this is complaining. Not one thing I said was complaining, but that is the reality of it. Mm-hmm. James Brees and I then went swimming in the bay, and that really just made everything okay. The moment I started swimming, I was like, things are pretty good. Yeah, this is great.
Just got to get there.
You got to get there. Sometimes, people – my friends from Belfast and Dublin and London and Brussels, they've picked wherever we land, Antwerp, they've picked me up from the airport and I'm a groggy mess when I get there, but hey, and then the moment I start talking, the moment I start meeting these quality people, it's all good. It's all good. The people in this community are marvelous.
You're not going to hear me argue to you about that. Yeah. Well, there's a lot of great stuff going on going into the end of the year and into 2016. As I mentioned before, otpbooks.com is where you want to go and check out. And, you know, these are some of the bonuses that you can get. Chip Conrad, Sweet Chant of Frantic Power interview. An MP3, also a Philosophy of Strength Training DVD excerpt. It's a piece from an outstanding DVD set. Standards, Simple Warm-Ups, and Complex is a 12-page PDF manual, and that's for the same price that you would get it on Amazon. So you might as well just go to otpbooks.com and order through there. And Larry, get stuff out the door. They're good. So if you're just like a crazy shipping person, trust me, it's going to get there just as fast. Yeah. And like I said, you know, just support the hell out of what Dan John's doing, what Larry's doing over at OTP, just because we got to support content that is good, because there's, you know, I think we talked about before, I think there's a really good upward trend in the content and the education level of this industry. Let's just keep it going.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Well, that's good.
And thanks for mentioning Larry again. You know, that she's just amazing. Yeah.
She's the best. I was just, you know, I only got to see her for like 2 seconds in when I saw her this year at the summit. So I want to give her a shout out whenever I can, because she sends me, like I said, I get gifts in the mail. I get DVDs that I get to watch. Yeah. And it's the best. So, thank you to her and to all the people that are in the books and in front of the cameras too. Yeah. Just great stuff. So, yeah, we'll have links for the stuff that we mentioned in the show notes, and I'm going to get this out as soon as possible. And are you doing any of the Perform Better 1 days this year?
Yeah. You know what? My schedule, you know, Chris, I miss him. I'm doing one, I think. And I'm doing two of the, you know, the bigger ones, summits. Yeah. But it just kind of just filled out, you know, I was already booked, you know, and that's too bad. And it's like, this weekend is the first one, and I'm doing this thing with the Pac-12. So, yeah.
Well, you know what, folks, the summits are awesome too.
Yeah.
I'll even be there. You can say hi. Maybe we can go for a swim at Long Beach in.
That'll be very exciting for everyone in your audience.
It will be a blast.
Folks, Kevin Larrabee in a thong is worth saying
that. It was gym shorts this year. It was a spur of the moment. Hey, let's go into the somewhat dirty water of Long Beach.
It is. Yes, yes.
All right, we'll stay out of the Long Beach water, and hopefully everyone else has a great rest of the week. Again, the book is Before We Go, On Target Publications, just an incredible resource. And sir, thank you so much for taking the time. I can't wait to talk to you again.
We'll talk again soon, okay?